It is so exciting to be starting this new series. This is our fall series that also has study groups that goes with it. And if you didn't get in a study group, don't worry. There's going to be ways for you to track with us. I'll circle back to that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the power of they. Have you noticed they have a lot of power? I mean, really, a lot of power. They tell us breakfast is the most important meal of the day. They tell us we should get 8 hours of sleep. They tell us that 64 ounces of water is the correct amount of water to drink every day. They tell us we should floss, we should meditate. They tell us if the stock market's going up or down, or the housing market's going up or down. And here's the thing, we believe them. Right? In general, we believe them because they are the expert theys. And then there's the theys we blame. You know the theys that we blame, right? There's a lot of those. To just give you a few examples, they changed the dietary chart on us. How was I supposed to know, right? They said we were supposed to put the garbage out the day after the holiday. Now, which day is that again? And how come they didn't come pick it up? You know, it's those kinds of theys, or even the theys that we think pointed us in the wrong direction toward enlightenment. Oh, that's a they you want to be upset with, right? And then there's the theys we praise. The theys, the musicians and the artists of our time, the writers, those who inspire us, the poets, the photographers, the dancers, the singers. They get it right. And then there's the theys that really get it right. Like yesterday when we had the animal blessing on the lawn, all those sweet doggies that came. And as we shared, many people said, this dog is the love of my life. Now, they always get it right, don't they? That's why dog is the reflection of God, you know, spelled the other direction. And we also, of course, praised our kitties. They didn't have the courage to come out in their carriers yesterday. So we praised them in absentia along with the iguanas, the snakes, and the rest of them. You know, Araya Mountain Dreamer, do you know her? She wrote The Invitation. She's a spiritual teacher, been around a long time. In 2001, not too long after 9/11 happened, I listened to an audio of a retreat that she was leading. It's been a long time since I listened to it, so the details are a little fuzzy, so apologies to Araya. I may not get this exactly right, but this is my memory, basic memory of how this circle went. So they were sitting in a circle, the retreat in San Araya, and she was imploring them to share how they were experiencing and feeling about what went on, what were they observing that happened with 9/11. And somebody said, they, the terrorists, they're really angry. They don't like, in fact, they hate our way of living. And somebody else said, they, our leaders, they're just wanting to retaliate because they're scared. And somebody else said, yeah, they, the victims, the families of the victims, they're so sad and in despair. And they, the first responders, so the first responders, so they're depleted, they're exhausted. And then she invited them to change the sentence to we. We are so angry. We hate our way of life. We are so sad. We're depleted. We're exhausted. We are so scared we want to retaliate and strike back. And then everybody went to I. I am so angry. I hate our way of life. I am so scared. I want to strike back. I'm so depleted. I feel so exhausted. I feel sad. What a difference, huh? Who is this we that we give so much, this they that we give so much power? It's we, isn't it? We're one in the same. Who is this they that we keep thinking is out there somewhere? It's us, because we're one. We are the they. And so it's time that we knew this. You know, it's one thing to have a theory of oneness, right? It's one thing to say, yeah, we believe in oneness. That's a great idea. We love the idea of oneness. We can feel it when we sing it and know it on Sunday, but then we walk out the doors and we start talking about they. and we and they, right? And we seem to maybe get it right and they don't, or sometimes we get it wrong and they do. But it's just erasing those lines that allows us to then live the truth of oneness, to walk the talk of oneness, to experience oneness. How do we get there? In a word, community. And that's what our series is all about. So the series is based on this book by Mark Nepo, and it's called More Together Than Alone. The subtitle is Discovering the Power of and Spirit of Community in Our Lives and in the World. And it's a really timely book. and you can read along with it even if you're not in a study group. It's really easy because he made it so simple for us to do a six-week series. So this week is the introduction through part one. Next week, week two, will be part two. The third week, part three, and so on through six parts. So it's very easy for you to track with where we are. At the end of each section, each part, there are questions. So you can get a friend together and discuss the questions, or a group of your own together. So there's lots of ways for us to really dive into this together. Mark defines community and looks at the root word, the Latin word, which is common. And similar words to this idea of finding the common are things like, that share the same root, are communicate, which is to share in an understanding, to find the common understanding in communication. Or communion, to share in experience, to find our common experience, like we do when we meditate together, like we do when we come together and sing together. These are experiences of communion, of community together, experiencing what's in common for us. And there's so much more in common in this, in these days that we keep otherizing. There's so much more in common. You know, we all have insecurities. We all have fears. We all have hopes. We all have dreams. We all have moments of light and moments of dark, moments when we forget, moments when we remember. And so if we can remember that when we are pushing against other groups, we can start to bridge that gap. So it's one thing to say I believe in oneness. It's one thing to say I care about community. It's a whole different thing to fully engage it and to live it. And that's the invitation that this series is offering us. So if we look around to understanding, then where do we begin? Where do we begin to really get grounded here? You know, I'll bring us once again back to our first principle in unity, God is. God is that source. And so when we go back to source, when we go back to that rooted understanding of source, that's where the oneness lies. Anybody ever heard of the Pando, also known as the trembling giant? It's in Utah, and it's in a national forest called Fish Lake National Forest. And it's really old. It's 80,000 years old. It's also really big. It's 106 acres and 13 million pounds. What is it, you say? It's one single organism, but it's 47,000 quaking aspen trees. Let's take a look. We have a picture of it. That's the Pando, otherwise known as the trembling giant. They're known as the trembling giant because the quaking aspens have that shimmering thing they do. And at this time of year, they're that beautiful golden. But the truth is, it's one organism. We see 47,000 trees, or we see a lot of trees. We probably can't name 47,000 when we're looking at them. But underneath it all, in the root system, is what makes it a single organism. It actually was the largest single organism on Earth up until recently. It just got edged out by honey fungus in Oregon. So it's now the second largest, oldest organism in largest living organism in the world. So why is this so impactful? Well, when we stand there and look at the trees, what we don't see is that it is one. What we don't see is that there is an underlying oneness. In a similar way that when we're moving about the world and seeing each other, we don't see the oneness always, unless we look for it, unless we know, unless we remember what's underneath. What is not showing right now is this single breathing life that is sourced from one source that we are all a part of. So what is so tremendous about these roots that are shared is that it's a whole system that takes care of the different parts. So if nutrients are needed over on these trees, then these trees over here will send the nutrients. If water is needed more over here, this tree will hold the water and then rush the water to the other. If one of the trees is sick, the other trees will send the immune response, the medicine, if you will, that is needed. And if there's danger, they have ways of alerting one another of danger. And so all of this communication system, this one community that is operating, that knows how to share and care for one another, for the whole, because the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So that we learn three things from the trembling giant. One is that there is an underlying oneness, that in reality we may look like many, but we are one. And two, that to share and to care for all parts of the community makes us stronger as one. Why is it 80,000 years old? How has it survived that long? Because it shares and cares for one another. Because it sees that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The truth is, shared roots live longer. We find this in research about people, right? People who have community live longer. People who have connection live longer. People who have a sense of love and compassion in their lives live longer. Companionship, all of that is a part of this beautiful thing we call community that will take us to this place of oneness. We are, in fact, more together than alone. That's the central truth. The core of spiritual religions around the world and spiritual traditions around the world, and the core of these plant and tree root systems that teaches us more together than alone. It's the fact of the matter that we are more together than alone, and it's also that we are more, better together than alone. So how do we forget, or why do we forget? What happens that gets in the way for us of being this living, breathing, single community that cares and shares and doesn't push out, separate, otherize, and make enemy of one another? What is it that happens? Well, one of the belief systems that we can all look at is the ways in which we view the world as a hostile and competitive place. If there's anything in your purview that ever sees the world as hostile and competitive, and there will be times probably when you see it that way and times you don't, but when you notice yourself seeing it that way, see if you can, if you will, get to the root of it and root it out. Release that idea, because it's not based in truth. It's based in some relative idea that we've taught one another that is honestly killing us. And so we need to find the ways that we're showing up in that way so that we can then learn that they actually ultimately can be trusted because they're a part of us. And we find our way slowly and truly back to that place, maybe risking getting a little bit closer. And then over time, building a little trust. And you know what follows from that trust is healing and transformation, and a real recognition, a real field and felt and known experience of oneness. Or another way that we might get in the way of ourselves is the majestic idea, the pride of the lone wolf. Anybody ever just love that idea of the lone wolf? I know, I have to own it. I think it's really cool, this idea. I used to think it was, you know, that rugged individual idea that, you know, I can go it alone, the pride of the lone wolf. Anybody else ever? Yeah, oh, okay, good, I'm not alone. So that kind of reverence that we hold for it is actually based in no truth at all. Did you know that a lone wolf in the wild is a wolf in distress? The howling is the howling of distress. Because a wolf is meant to be in a social order, in a pack, in a community, in a tribe, in a family. That's how they're wired. And guess what? That's how we're wired too. So that idea, you know, look at when we keep hearing about these mass shooters, what's the profile? He was a loner, a lone wolf. He had what we're really saying is he was in distress. It was a soul in distress who had no real connection to community. So when we find those outliers, those people that are sitting outside the circle in any metaphorical way you can understand that or literal way, invite them in. We can do that, right? Make a connection. Get closer. Find something out. Find a point of connection. Find a commonality. We don't have to look that hard. We all have two eyes and a nose and two ears, most of us anyway. And if not that, we can find some other way that we connect with one another. A deeper way. A heart. A shared desire. A shared need. And it's in that way that we begin to rebuild and restore and transform and heal. Now, even if you don't identify with the lone wolf idea, you might identify with a little worry at times in your life that you're going to lose your identity. Anybody ever fall in love and feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to just get sucked into this other person. I'm just going to give over to this relationship. I'm going to lose myself. Anybody ever have that fear? Yeah. And so that idea, right, that we have to give ourselves up in order to be connected. And you might be one who says, I'm not a joiner. Anybody ever say that about communities and membership? And usually it comes with like a physical, I'm not a joiner. Okay, gotcha. So let's try to go around it this way. You know, what is the fear underneath that, right? Same thing. I'm going to fall into some kind of group think. I'm going to be brainwashed. If it's unity, they're going to force the five principles on me. I don't know what people are afraid of. But, you know, there's those fears, right, that we have, that those base fears that we are somehow just going to lose ourselves, lose our identity. But guess what? Here's the thing about real community. Healthy community is based on needs, is actually essential to have diversity in it, to have the authenticity in it, that we must be our true selves in order to have healthy community. So there's no losing. There's only winning and truth and the fabric of the beauty of diversity that makes us strong and resilient as community. It's not about sameness. At all. So it's knowing that, you know, as the lone wolf or the one who's afraid to come together, that we can still have our time apart. You know, we can still come apart and be apart and be a part of the whole. And so what are some ways that we do that? What if we could remember who we are more clearly, know who we are as an individual, and walk that even more so in community, because of community? It is possible. Anybody ever hear of Sobhonfu Somme? She's a spiritual teacher, yeah, from the Dogari tribe in Burkina Faso specifically, but western part of Africa. And her work was to share with the world some of the ways that the Dogari see and experience the tribe and community so that people could heal from that. And so some of the ways, if you were born into the Dogari tribe, here's how your experience would go. Before you were born, before you were even conceived, your mother would go out in nature and she would listen for the song of your soul. And then she would begin to sing the song of your soul, and she would teach it to your father so that they would sing it while they made you. And then when you were birthed into the community, by then all the villagers knew your song. And they would sing the song of your soul to you as you were born into that community. At significant times throughout your life, your community, your tribe, would sing your soul song to you. And I imagine even when you did something wrong or went off, that you would be reminded of who you were by that soul song. And Sobhonfu herself was also known before she came into the world. Her name means keeper of the rituals. So it was already known who she was and what her life's work was about, that she would be one to keep the rituals. Can you imagine that you didn't have to go to your family and explain to them, I just have this feeling like I need to travel and I need to teach something and I can't explain it. Guess what? You wouldn't have to explain it because everybody already knew before you were born why you were here. Isn't that beautiful? And everybody conspired to encourage that, to allow you to flourish for who you are and who you've come to be. The song of your soul is known throughout the community. That's the kind of community that I dream of. You know, we can create it here. We can create one, you know, we remember who we are one class at a time, one moment at a time, one discussion at a time, one meditation and prayer and interaction at a time here. And we could go deeper still, right? We could go deeper still to the point where we could actually hear one another's soul song, where we could actually perceive each other's soul name, where we could call each other forth and remember what it looks like to look into the eyes of divinity. And remember in the times that we forget, because there will be times we forget, right? There will be times we're having a hard time seeing that in ourselves and in each other. Rudolf Steiner reminds us of a way that we can do that. He says, I remember, I saw it once. He's talking about the archetype of a soul. We could talk about it, the innate divinity. I remember, I saw it once. And he says, no illusion, no deception shall rob me of it. Excuse me. I remember, I saw it once. No illusion, no deception shall rob me of it. And so remember the time when you have seen somebody in their radiance, maybe in this community, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your own family tribe. And you've experienced that and you've seen that. And so in another moment, they're showing up a different way for you. And it's harder in that moment for you to see it. But you remember, you take the vow that Rudolph took and say, I remember, wait, I saw it once. No illusion, no deception shall rob me of it. And we work for it, we dig for it, and we bring it forth. That's the work of oneness. And that we can do, right? Can we not do that together? To remember, to see, to stay open, to catch the glimpse, and then vow that we won't forget in times of darkness, in times of amnesia, temporary amnesia. We'll bring it back. We'll claim it again. We'll vow to bring it forth. And for ourselves, too, that we see it in ourselves, that we feel it even on the days when we're not quite up to snuff. We remember what it felt like when we felt really in line with and in the flow, and we bring that up for ourselves. I remember, and I won't let the forgetting rob me of the experience of that flow, of that truth, of that light, of the love that I am. And then we show up the best we can in that moment, and we help weave the community together. Help illumine the light that allows everyone else to find their way. And remember that root system. So it's not like we're going to be taken from if we help somebody who's in need right now. But instead we flood the nutrients and the fresh water and the medicine to those who need it at that moment. And then we are stronger as a whole. And then we remember who we are. And then we know that we indeed are they. Let's drop the they. Let's drop the otherizing. Let's drop the separation, because we can be part of the solution. It doesn't help to keep railing against what we think doesn't work. It doesn't help for us to keep having negative spinning conversations about what's going on in the political world. It doesn't help. I know it's easy to get sucked in. I get sucked into it all the time too. But it's like it doesn't help, right? Don't you go there and then you go, oh, why did I go here? And we can get ourselves out, and we can keep coming back to the community that works and the community that builds and the community that envisions a spiritually awakened world, because that's who we came to be, and that's who we are, and that's what we have to offer each other. Don't waste another minute ostracizing, pushing away, making divisions of we and they. We are they. Let's just get over it, accept it. We got our stuff too. And just keep looking a little deeper for that time we saw the truth, the time we experienced the truth, the the moment of communion, the commonality. It's our oneness. Let's know it together as we enter into this journey of community together. Let's speak it together. We are they. We are truly one. So it is.